Welcome to my podcast. My name is Amy Anderson, and I'm a lifelong Coastside resident with a new podcast on our local education system. Back in June, I sat down with our assistant superintendent, Joy Dardanelle, to talk about the Coastside's new plan to support our students and families.
I'm Joy Dardanelle. I'm the assistant superintendent of curriculum and instruction in the Cabrillo Unified School District. I'm also a parent of a first grader and a third grader, too.
And how long have you worked in the district?
I just finished my seventh year here in the district. I started as a literacy coach at Hatch Elementary School, and then I taught in the immersion program at Hatch, and then I was a principal for 4 years at Fairlawn View Elementary School, where my kids go to school. And now I just finished my first year at the district level as the assistant superintendent. And one of the great tasks I had was to write the LCAP this year.
The LCAP, amazing. Well, before we do that, I want to ask you, how was it being involved in the district in both ways? So being a parent and having your kids there, but also having such a big stake in the district and being so involved with Fairlawn View and Hatch and the district as a whole.
My husband also went to school at Fairlawn View, so when I came to the Coastside, I had married into a longtime Coastside family. So I feel like the school district is something that's a huge part of my life, whether or not I worked here. I also think that this is an amazing school district that helps to support employees within the district and promote people within the district also. A lot of our principals actually have held positions as teachers in the district in the past and have either gone up at the ranks or have come back from teaching or being administrators in other districts, as well as our classified staff who are the support staff across the district. There's also people who've held different positions through time. So I'm one of the many people in the district who've moved up through different positions to the current position where I am. And I think that it's given me an opportunity to develop an understanding of how it feels to be a teacher in the district, as well as what it feels like, the challenges of being a site principal, and then in this new role that I have as an assistant superintendent, how do we pull all of those things together into a plan that makes sense for the employees at all the different levels, but also for the children, because that's the plan is really for the students and supporting them so that they can be as successful as possible. And within that group of students also are my own kids.
Cool.
The 3,300 or so students.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so let's talk about this LCAP. So what is an LCAP?
The thing called the LCAP. So one of the things that we're trying to do in our district is to change the way that we even refer to the LCAP. We're referring to it now more as our strategic education plan. Mm. And I think of it as the strategic education plan, formerly known as the LCAP, because we need to still connect the two terms for it. The LCAP stands for the Local Control Accountability Plan, and it's a plan that we are required to put together by the state, and the county office of education approves it, as well as our board of education. And we work within the priorities of the state to create a plan to spend what we call our local control funding. So the priorities of the state include curriculum, implementation of standards, parent involvement, and other things. So that's what we use as the foundation for how we set our priorities for the plan.
And so you do a new LCAP every year. Is that how it works?
So the LCAP, every time we write an LCAP, or as we call it, our strategic education plan, it's a 3-year plan. Mm. And every year it's revised. So the current local control accountability plan, also our strategic plan that's going to the board tomorrow actually for approval, is a 3-year plan for 2017-18, 2018-19, and 2019-20.
Wow. So you got to think 3 years ahead.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, where does that process sort of start? How do you set priorities? How do you decide what should be tackled, especially if you're looking at sort of a 3-year period? How do you think about this and bring it into, you know, everything that is involved in this district and bring it down into these few priorities and focuses?
That's a great question. And we have a lot of things that we use in terms of data. But even before we really start digging into the data, we have to know, because this is a plan that is approved by the county board and it's done by the state regulations, we have to look at what the state needs us to do. So what the state wants us to address are eight priorities. There are eight priorities, which includes basic services, the implementation of state standards, parental involvement, pupil achievement, school climate, course access, which you see mostly at the high school, and then also pupil outcomes that might include suspensions, expulsion data. And we take those standards, we look at our own data set among all of those things, and then we try to clump together what we need to get done and our priorities to be able to accomplish what the state's asking us to do. So that includes four goals that are the goals that we had in our LCAP, or strategic education plan, from last year, and it's what's included in our current plan. The first goal is focused around literacy and reclassification, meaning that we want students to have be proficient in literacy. And in terms of reclassification, that's where we're supporting our English learners, students who've been identified as English learners, to be reclassified, that is, identified or reclassified as English proficient. So that's our what we call goal number one, because literacy is really the cornerstone of education, and it allows us to support students in all other areas, all other content areas. And that goes to goal two. So college and career readiness is a huge goal for any school district. It's about helping our students to really be prepared to move on beyond the walls and the boundaries of our district, to go on to college, career, trades, what it is that they want to do in the world, and making sure that they have the skills in order to be able to do that. So goal two is college and career readiness, which builds upon our foundational goal of literacy and reclassification. Our third goal is parent engagement, because we know that in working with parents as well as the rest of our community, we're going to be able to more effectively support students in college career readiness as well as literacy and reclassification. And the fourth goal of our district focuses on school climate, safety and well-being of our students. And it's really foundational to make sure that students are in a safe environment, and we really can't have literacy and reclassification or even college and career readiness if at the heart of a child's school day they're not safe. So safety itself is foundational. Really, the way that we label our goals as goal one being literacy and reclassification, or goal two, college and career readiness, three, parent engagement, and four, safety and well-being, they're all so foundational, and they sit on top of each other in a way, but they're also totally intermixed, because they're foundational to education for our students.
Wow, that's really exciting. I love it. So maybe we could talk about something. I don't know if we want to just sort of focus on one or what we want to do, or if there are some, like, what are some of the concrete steps? What are some of the strategies for, you know, any of those or things that overlap?
Well, maybe what I could do is just walk you through a little bit about how the strategic plan's written up, so that any person who wants to actually go into depth, because it's a 110-page document, they will know what to look for and where to look for it. So, and that'll hit upon where we could talk about what the specific sections are. So this, the document's really divided up into five sections, and if you do look at it online, one of the nice things is that they're color-coded. The first section's blue, the next section's pink, and then blue, and then pink, and then blue. And it just makes it easier to know when you're going into a new section. So the first section is the plan summary, and that's the section where if somebody wanted to go in and just find out, give me a couple of key things that the LCAP is about. The plan summary is about 6 pages long, and it's a very quick read. It has some key data points, and it also talks about some of the key ways that we're supporting our students. The second section is called the annual update. And the annual update is basically a progress report of how we implemented the plan from last year and how we compare it against the metrics that we set forth from the prior year. The third section is the parent engagement section, or it's called stakeholder engagement. What that means is that after we implemented the goals and looked at our actions, we needed to talk with all of our community members about creating our new plan. So the stakeholder engagement section describes how we actually went through that process. And this year in our stakeholder engagement, we basically asked four main questions. We asked parents, what's working? What should we do more of? What are we not yet doing that we should begin to do? And what is not working that well? And we asked these questions across dozens of community groups that were embedded at the site level as well as at the district level to hear what community members really valued. And then we took that information and tried to think about how we could include it, what parts of our four goals should we alter so that we could take in that information. And the fourth section is where you actually see the end result, which is a revision of our plan from last year, which you will see in the annual update. And the so it's basically our new plan is a combination of our annual update, which is the plans from last year, with what the community has asked for and said, and putting it together in a way that makes sense to create new actions, new goals, and maintaining some of them from the prior year to make sure that we move forward. And that's the fourth section, which is the goals, actions, and services. So the fifth section is what the people who write the LCAP, all of us who work on it so much, we call the DICEP section because the section name is so long. It's the section for the services for unduplicated students. And what that basically says is, what are we doing to really serve our English learners, our low-income or socioeconomic disadvantaged students, our foster youth, and our other at-risk students? So this section is really explaining why specifically we chose each of the services that we are dedicating for this group of at-risk students. And this section is designed to actually explain the theory, the logic, the research behind it, so that anyone who wants to know, well, this one section is written with just one, you know, a couple of words, one sentence, but why are they actually doing that? So for example, why is reading intervention really important? Or why is reducing class size really important? Or why is the advancement via individual determination program really important? And if it wasn't already stated in the goals, actions, and services section, it's explained in much more depth in this next section. So it's a very thorough document. I would recommend for anyone who wants to tackle it to start with a plan summary. And then if you really want to get to the heart of it, of what the actual plan is, it would be in the goals, actions, and services section.
Are there things that you're like really excited about? What to you really stands out?
So some of the things that really stand out is that AVID, which is the Advancement via Individual Determination program that we have at the middle school, at Cunha Intermediate School, and at the high school, is a program that really supports first generation students, some of whom are identified as at-risk students, and gives them the support so that they can really successfully navigate the school system in order to get ready for college. And some of the things that are included in AVID are really direct and explicit counseling involving the A through G requirements, which are the requirements to get into UCs and CSUs, so that when students have to pick their courses, they can pick with that knowledge of knowing how to get themselves ready to get lined up for going to a UC or a CSU if that's the path that they want to go in. AVID students are also able to go on college tours, which is really inspiring for students, and it helps students to be able to go with a group of other people who are envisioning themselves at this next level of college. and many of these students are first generation college goers. And so it's really that type of inspiring opportunity is really important for them to be able to get ready and be ready to move on to college and move on to the next level past our school district. So the AVID program, I think, is one that we want to make sure that we keep, but we also want to expand the program. Some of the other resources that we're maintaining, including reading intervention for our elementary school, we want to keep some of our programs for summer school. And then one of the things that we want to expand in looking at that is how do we use technology to support reading intervention so that it's not just the small group instruction with a reading specialist, but that we can use technology to also support reading. And also looking at how do we use summer school to really look at our target groups. So one of our new summer school programs is called Jumpstart Reclassification, so that students who are just on the cusp of being reclassified and being English proficient, they are able to go to a program where through being in the program, they're then able to be reclassified at the end of the summer, which is a really huge deal. It allows students to be reclassified, and then the following school year, they are able to more easily participate in all classes that they want to take because they won't necessarily have the ELD courses within their course schedule. So it frees up their schedule to be able to explore other options that may be interesting to them as well. So we have a lot of interesting ways of looking at the data, analyzing it, looking at our programs and thinking, okay, well, if our goal is to make sure that students are reclassified, what are ways that we can change our whole system? And maybe instead of having them go through the process that they've always gone through, maybe we need to create some shortcuts for students so that they have access to these services or to these opportunities without having to go through the maze of a system. So we're trying to streamline things also. So I think that some people say that the LCAP is something that is a document, we don't want it to just sit on the shelf. But I think that the process of creating it, going through all of those steps of having your plan summary, of doing our annual update and really analyzing how it was implemented last year, going out to our stakeholder groups and asking them what they think, revising it and then justifying all of our choices, I think that that process really has helped us to refine the work that we're doing, get the word out to our community about what we're doing, and work strategically, not on a year-by-year basis, but actually on a three-year plan basis. Mm-hmm. And next year, we're going to be reviewing all of the goals that we have and all the metrics, all the outcomes, and the ones that we're meeting, we're gonna keep working on it, expanding services possibly, and the ones that we're not meeting yet, we're going to just have to ask ourselves, what is it that we can do better? Do we need to change the structure of something that we're doing? Do we need to add more services? Do we need to look more closely at some aspect of the work that we do? And it helps us to create a real unified conversation around it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess related to that, you know, do you see sort of opportunities for the community to support in these efforts? Or maybe you can talk about ways that, you know, community organizations and parents and teachers and everyone is already contributing to this plan.
So with the stakeholder engagement process, I think that in particular with this particular plan, I think that the stakeholder group engagement process is really important because we're really getting community members' input through organizations that they're already participating in. So for example, school site councils were asked their opinions, parent-teacher organization groups, our English language advisory committee groups were all asked to give input. And I think that in terms of how community members can continue to contribute, I think participating in site-based organizations that are really strong decision-making organizations is really great. We also have a lot of volunteers in our community, and I think it goes back to what I was talking about earlier about how we have so many people who have these really deep connections with the school district for example, in my own home, I have my husband who went to school at Fairlawn View, and we have kids who now go to school at Fairlawn View. So my in-laws, their grandparents, who also used to be parents, and we have a lot of people in the community who have very deep roots, either having been former teachers or former employees of the district, people in the community who are currently parents, were parents, currently grandparents of the district, were grandparents of the district, former students of the district, such as yourself. And a lot of people want to give and contribute. And I would say to them, you have unique skills. For example, you, Amy, have unique skills. You are interested in education, you're interested in communication, you're interested in your local community, and with those unique skill set, the unique skill set that you have, you reach out, you find people, you interview them, and then you communicate that information. And I think that every single person in our community has a unique skill set that they can contribute back to the community and to our school district if that's their choice. And connecting with the district office or site administrators, that's an easy way to do it also, is a great way for people to find out how they can bring their unique skill set to the community or to the school district and to the students. One example is my husband, who works full-time. He also happens to speak Spanish, and so he's a district translator. So during parent conferences, he's one of the people who comes in and helps support parent conferences. He's not the type of parent who's able to come in on a regular basis during school hours because he works during those hours, but after hours he's able to do this during parent conferences. So I think that everybody really has a unique skill set, and in sharing who you are or whoever these people are with the community and with the principals or with district administrators or with local teachers or with local organizations, anybody can find a place, I think, in how they can also contribute. We, aside from talking directly with principals, there's also local organizations, including the Sheriff's Activity League, which is the SAL program, Rotary program, also does things, the Chamber of Commerce, the Cabrillo Education Foundation, and there are many, many ways that the local PTOs and parent organizations like the Boosters are able to encourage participation from our community and also give back directly to the students, whether it's financially or through volunteer work. So
are there any other priorities you want to talk about?
You know, I think the reason why we originally came together is because I think there is a concern in our community, there's a concern in our state, there's a concern in our world about the achievement gap. Yeah. And I think that there are many things that contribute to the achievement gap, whether it's within our district's control or not within our district's control. And I think that the Local Control Accountability Plan, also our strategic education plan, is one of the ways that we want to make it very public for everyone what we're trying to do to tackle this great challenge that we all see. And the achievement gap is something that will always be something that we need to continually tackle. And as we improve and give more resources to students and see more success in our students, we need to continue that effort always. And I don't think it's something that I'll ever say, yes, we've gotten to where we need to go, because I think the second you say that, I think that we'll start becoming blind again to the ways that we're not paying attention to the things that we need to make sure that all students are getting resources and support. So through the work that we do in revising this document regularly, the whole process of it, not just the document itself, but the process of looking at data, the process of really thinking about our priorities, the process of questioning ourselves and saying, is this strategy a good strategy? The process of listening to families and parents and community members and teachers and other staff members and listening to the way they see the work that we do as a whole district. I think that it helps us to continually question, are we doing the best that we can in trying to tackle the achievement gap? And I think that continuous reflection, that continuous revision of action is what's going to make the difference in the long run, not any one specific thing.
So I love it. Okay.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you. We did it.
Yay!
We did it. Okay.